This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Wednesday, 1st of December, 2021. As if we weren't seeing enough whiplash in markets, yesterday we get a further dose of whiplash from Fed Chair Powell testifying before a Senate panel and coming out with a full broadside on the hawkish front. This was along the lines of what the market was beginning to react to as we saw sort of a clear hawkish shift in some of the signals in his acceptance speech for his second term nomination for a second term and from also for some Brainard comments. But of course, given the subsequent Omicron news that jolted markets back the other way, saw a huge position clearing. Now we're going back to the, oh no, the Fed is hawkish situation. So just to briefly run down what he said, making it clear that they want to taper. There's a specific reference to tapering asset purchases a few months sooner than previously expected. It's time to retire the word transitory when discussing inflation. The risk of higher inflation has increased and that persistent higher inflation would present risks to the labor market. That's an interesting one as well. So markets rushing to try to adjust to that. There's a lot of jolting back and forth in equities. And Peter, it's interesting to notice the patterns as well. So if we look on slide two at the S&P 500, it's still a little bit heavy. And we've seen those amazing direction changes over the last few days. Rallying a little bit off the lows, but still quite heavy. Whereas the NASDAQ 100 somehow, and I think that's, well, we'll get to that discussion later, but it was basically back towards the high of the very local range here. So just, traders really struggling to absorb all of this.
Yeah, they are. And as I said to you in our internal call, I think the signal to noise ratio is extremely low right now. I think there will be a lot of confusion in the next couple of trading sessions over these statements. I think the statement and the direction is pretty clear, but the market is struggling and you haven't seen a follow through on interest rates going higher. Especially technology stocks, NASDAQ 100 is taking that with a sigh of relief and pushing higher remarkably because they are the most interest rate sensitive part of the equity market. So something is not really adding up. I've also on slide two, updated or just shown our basket performance for last month, right? So we had a month in November with MSCI World down 2% in dollar terms. Not a big deal, but look at the long tail of high growth baskets right there, John. I mean, it has been a pretty brutal month. And then you have that mega caps, which is go back to our discussion from the past month that the breadth of the market is just extraordinary low or narrow, if you will. So there's definitely a cause for concern here. And also on slide three, I've put in our usual suspect for the last couple of podcasts, the NASDAQ 100 versus Stoxx 50. I think that the technology versus everything else trade. And here you see it that you would expect, and I think that will be eventually the case. I think a lot of this gap that has been created will be closed on the backside of Powell's comments. I just think it will take a little bit of while for the market to readjust itself to what will become an arguably a very different period going forward now with a rising interest rate cycle and everything. And I John, I hate people patting themselves on the back and say, "Oh, see, I told you so." But I will say I think we have been pretty consistent saying, not with full confidence, but we have said we are leaning towards that this is not transitory. I think we've been saying that on this podcast for the entire of this year. And I think to some extent, our view is finally being vindicated. And I remember clearly we put out a chart a couple of maybe half a year ago where we showed when we had the first monthly big jump in the PCE core, where we showed this autocorrelation chart that when you have these big jumps, they don't go away that easily. They are significantly with us for at least 9 months. And I think that's the story. It will be here for quite a while.
Yeah. And there are a couple of stories here. So as you point out with the Euro Stoxx 50, if you look on slide four, the Russell 2000, just to remind where we are for sort of the median stock out there in the US, we've come way down and we're still way down from those recent highs where there was a breakout attempt. And then we have this new development. We really highlighted it extensively yesterday. I believe it was yesterday in any case, where we're seeing a very different backdrop in terms of financial conditions. If you look at the junker bond ETF, for example, the JNK, you're seeing, we did see a bounce on the after the first shock reaction on Friday, in the Monday trading session. And then in yesterday's trading session, we're seeing a lot of pressure on corporate spreads from these Powell comments. And I just wonder, you know, are people taking a new attitude here towards credit? Well, clearly they are. If you look at the chart there, this is a very significant decline. And just look back to that 2018, late 2018 episode. That was when the Fed was you know, fully in hike mode, and the market was starting to lose its confidence in how hawkish the Fed would remain, and the equity market was correcting badly. You know, in an economy that's where the output gap is disappearing, you know, the Fed during the pandemic will save everybody. But if there's an overheating economy, you're not going to save everybody. There needs to be a little bit of creative destruction and weak operators have to be allowed to sort of be squeezed out of existence, if you will. So I wonder if that's some of the new psychology towards credit here. It's a very interesting development. And I think it's a big concern for the longer term if this continues and eventually will creep into the equity market as well. And then if we look at the shape of the yield curve, sort of the reaction, I think one of the reasons you're seeing those mega caps still sticky towards the high end of the range is that long end of the curve still not reacting to this. So eventually, if the Fed is hiking and as long as the economy is not slowing drastically, and the outlook is not slowing drastically, you would expect that the entire yield curve could lift in the U.S. That's not really the case, not even yesterday. So we're still seeing it sticky at very low yields. You can see on slide 5. The 10-year Treasury note future on the right there, yes, it came off those local little spike highs, but still very, you know, very elevated relative to when it was poking towards the highs of the range. Sorry, the yields were poking at the highs of the range. So this, the price poking at the lows. And then we see the reaction, of course, far sharper in the short end of the curve. So I put in the December 22 Eurodollar short-term interest rate future. And you can see how over the last week, we've gone from news cycle extremes of higher Fed rate expectations. In other words, as this goes lower, and then the COVID Omicron variant reaction, and now Fed Powell's comments reaction, just a triple whammy of whiplash trading. And so I think really struggling to see how the market sort of finds confidence in putting on back on a big position when it just took a big position off. We have year-end effects, et cetera. I think we have a very dynamic coming month ahead plus as we transition into a new year. And then just to wrap up my comments on FX, you're seeing similar types of reactions. So you see dollar yen avoiding a meltdown because we see yields coming back higher in the US, but they're not coming back higher enough to fully reverse it back towards 115. You would really need to see that long end of the US yield curve coming back higher to see that. So we're just struggling across the board. Is this good for risk? Is this bad for risk? And all those trades trying to find their sea legs with these crazy jolts back and forth. In the meantime, We have a very clearly hawkish Fed that's going to put a tremendous focus on economic data as it rolls in. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, with this awkward and difficult overlay of headline risks from Omicron news, shutdowns in Europe, even from Delta, for example, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to need a couple of weeks here on the virus front, at least, to get a sense of where we are. All right. And then, of course, we're still looking at these value versus momentum and versus the mega caps, if you will. And you've got some perspective on that. Still, this value trade, it seems maybe it'll never come in unless we get those long yields a lot higher. What's the outlook there, Peter?
Yeah, I mean, my working hypothesis, I know AQR and some of the other big value players in the world are, you know, they're acknowledging that the interest rate play a pretty big role in the value trade. I suspect the effect is much larger, but it will be more and more clear as you get more and more data in this low interest rate environment. But I think this chart speaks for itself. It's the MSCI World Value Total Return versus World Growth Total Return, right? And that little mountain or iceberg tip you can see there in the to the far right of the chart. We are on slide 7, by the way. Was the value trade that started in early November when we got the vaccine news last year, and then it carried into the summer month, and then the past half a year has been brutal to value. This, of course, is a long only version. You can construct value in many different ways, growth in many different ways, and you know the most institutional ones like AQR, they express it as neutral on industry, so they don't have it a broad-based long-term view, long-only view as we show here. But I think this is basically what a lot of other investors, even retail investors, this is what they have experienced if you have believed in the value, because you don't do the long short version, you do the long version. And basically, we have eradicated 30 years of gains in value stocks. I think it's pretty brutal. But if we get interest rate coming into the market, positive interest rate cycle, it should. It could, in theory, begin to be positive for value, but let's see. John, I will also add on stocks, the stocks to watch today on slide 8. We have a significant downgrade on Nel, which is a Norwegian company. It's they are a manufacturer of electrolyzers for hydrogen production. So Morgan Stanley is downgrading them on risk to orders in 2022, and they're not impressed by the order intake for 2021, and they're actually lowering their long-term market share in the industry from 10% to 5%. So obviously that stock is down here in European trading. Salesforce disappointing on Q4. As you can see, shares were down 6%, obviously in focus in today's trading in the US. And then Twitter. I don't know whether Cathy Wood read our piece or on Twitter, but we basically agree with her. She has bought 1 million shares in Twitter. And I did a piece yesterday, which you can find on home.saxo/insights. Where the key takeaway on Twitter is that there is tremendous amount of upside for this company. They should be able to double their operating margin from 18 to 35% in a few years. It's just about cutting all that fat there is in the company. And then we need to talk about Chinese ADRs, because we have had a news coming in over the wire just before we recorded this podcast, John, and that is that the Chinese government is now explicitly saying that it's going to close the loophole that has allowed Chinese companies using these variable interest entities to create these foreign listings in the U.S. And we had the news recently with DD Global being being told by the Chinese government to delist in the U.S. So now I think we've gone full circle. China is going to close this, and I think it could put a lot of negative sentiment on these Chinese ADRs. And I think I've said this before. I think eventually we won't have any Chinese ADRs traded in the U.S. Longer term.
Interesting statement. And I'm just pulling up Alibaba as you're talking there. The high price October of 20 was 319. It is trading 127.5. As of the latest close. So that's a tremendous move there. Very special stock, if you will, that one, the Cayman Islands listings, etc. So let's look at the earnings watch. Is there anything, the Snowflake, these are big names, these are very popular names as well because of the industries they're operating in, Snowflake and CrowdStrike. I guess that's the big focus for today.
Yeah, they are our focus today. I've also Elastic, which is a data analytics company out of Europe. It's based in the Netherlands. So those three companies there, Snowflake, CrowdStrike, and Elastic, are three very popular stocks, growth stocks with retail investors, including Saxo clients. They are all reporting after the market close. So you have to stay up late European time to get the sense on that. So the price reaction will be tomorrow, but I find personally the Snowflake earnings release the most interesting, because it is so outrageously valued in terms of enterprise value to sales. The expectations for this company is just so extremely high that can they continue to deliver? That's the key question. And then CrowdStrike as well, also being a very high growth company in cybersecurity. So yeah, lots to watch.
Yeah. One thing we should watch and note is the EU inflation levels, the preliminary ones in yesterday, 4.9% at the headline, the highest in the history of the euro, the euro currency, and well above expectations. And I'm forgetting a number, 4.1% was the October number. So a big spike there. You've had ECB officials out as recently as yesterday saying, we expect this November number to be the peak for the cycle. The core out at 2.6%, also the highest since the euro was launched, versus 2.3% expected. This is serious inflation, but we're still waiting for that ECB facade to crack. Yeah.
Well, I think it's important to note as well that you had Scholz, the new chancellor in Germany, saying, quote unquote, if inflation doesn't ease, action must be taken. And keep in mind that it was the White House, it was from the political side that probably forced Powell and Brainard to change massively on interest rates. If you have comments like Scholz on these lines, who knows? Maybe the ECB is pulled into the chambers of Bundestag and being asked the same, get this under control now.
Yeah, I was going to make that very point. And he still referred to the drivers, like, so he sort of seemed to indicate that he's accepting the temporary rhetoric now and linking it to COVID measures and, of course, the ongoing energy crunch in Europe, but saying, look, if this doesn't come down, yes, something needs to be done. He's the incoming chancellor. Let's see what EU leaders are pulling together here. Also, that response to the ongoing crisis in energy prices, specifically natural gas, which is at many multiples of what, for example, US consumers are paying for their natural gas bill. All right, and then there was a very interesting item, and I neglect to put in a quick take, but it's a very interesting signal that the EU will announce today, a 300 billion euro initiative for funding infrastructure, both for public and private funding of it around the world, sort of seen indirectly, it's not declared as such, but indirectly in the commentary around this as a rival to China's Belt and Road Initiative. They're calling it the, quote, global gateway, unquote. So watch out for that. I think it's an interesting initiative just to see them rolling out something like this. I think it's a positive signal for the euro as well, because it's anything that's along the lines of fiscal is something that is euro positive. Let's look at the calendar for today. Interesting items up ahead. We have that ADP employment change. If that's posting another $500 million gain as is expected, plus that is, of course, pulling the focus back towards U.S. data. As well, Friday's even more important non-farm payrolls change, where I think the average hourly earnings is going to gain increasing focus on the idea that a wage price spiral may be at risk. We may be risking that this is kicking into gear. We also have Powell out again. I don't think he can really add to the full broadside of hawkish comments he made yesterday. I'm sure he'll repeat similar rhetoric, but we pretty much know the lay of the land now from the Fed. It's a very different focus there. ISM manufacturing, and then the Fed beige book, a bit interesting to see anecdotal discussions in the various regional Fed, the Fed regions with the private sector and what they're hearing from those people they're talking to about the supply of labor, wage demands, et cetera, and activity in general. So that could be very interesting reading as well for those that want to look through the fine lines. It's a long report, that one. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. It's interesting times. It's very difficult, as Peter said, to get the signal from the noise. Let's see where things settle for the rest of the day, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.